It's a great morning. I love being God's house with God's people and expecting that God has something in store for us or to teach us or encourage us today. And over the next 6 weeks, as mentioned, we're going to look at the Blessed Life series. This is the Blessed Life series. What it is to actually have a blessed life. What does that actually look like? And people are all over the world are trying to grapple with what is it? I want to live a blessed life. What does it look like? And people can't tangibly grab it. They can't tangibly grab it. It's sort of unattainable for some people, but it is attainable for God's people to live a blessed life and a fulfilling life. I want to ask you the question, and there's no wrong or right answers. For you, what does it mean to live a blessed life? What does it mean to live a blessed life? Just shout them out. Trusting God, yep. To live a blessed life. Being grateful. What else? Sharing, mutual love. What else? Content. What else? Family, yep. What else? And you think, oh, you know, sometimes I'm just feel, you know, feel overwhelmed. Think, yeah, I'm blessed. There's a moment so you just, yeah. Yeah, giving when you're not got much to give, yep. Peaceful, what else? What's it to live a blessed life? Being grateful, what else? Giving of yourself. You know, what it is this tangible thing that people are searching for in the world. They want to live a blessed life, but they don't know how to get it. And they would say one of the health, happiness, or these things we know as God's people, it's not always just about health and happiness. But we look about contentment and joy, all these things. And we want to look at the center of that. At the center of that is a heart of generosity. It is actually scientifically proven now, and I'm going to share some stuff with you, scientifically proven that you can't actually live a blessed life, a fulfilling, happy, healthy, content life without being generous. Science is actually proving it. And I've been doing a little bit of research. I printed off heaps of papers and I've been reading some stuff. But I want to now, this is not ashes, by the way. If someone says, you got ashes? Lauren says, have you got ashes on the... I said, no, I'm not that kind of sick pastor doing that today. Okay, these are not ashes. I couldn't find a genie bottle, okay? So let's just imagine this is a genie bottle, okay? I want you to close your eyes. Everyone close your eyes for 30 seconds. Close your eyes for 30 seconds. If you could rub this genie bottle, even though we Christians, we don't believe in this, okay? If you could rub this genie bottle, that doesn't look like some ashes. If you could rub this genie bottle... and you could wish for one thing, what would you wish for? Think about it. I'm going to come around quickly and people, I want you to yell things out. 30 seconds. Okay, go. Yell them out. What would you wish for? If you had one wish, what would you wish for? Coming to earth, humanity, oh, big one, big one. What else? What would you wish for? It doesn't have to be others focused. It can be whatever you want. The ability to do anything on the click of your fingers. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. Anyone, anything else? Your daughter to have good health. Yeah. Cure for cancer. What else? The world will stop fighting. Peace in the world. Miss America, she says that every year. What else? Heaven. Heaven on earth. What else? More wishes. More wishes. Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. What else? Yeah, that our kids would love Jesus. What else? If I was in a different context, if I was maybe in society, and I asked people if they could have one wish, do you think it would be about others or self? Yeah, money. It would be about self. And what, as Christian people, and we don't always get it right, as Christian people, the DNA of the church is a heart of generosity of others. We want cancer. Why do you want cancer? Because you want people to experience healing. Why do you want people to come to know Jesus and generations and your kids come to know Jesus? Because you know it's the best thing for them. And we're citizens of two worlds, the heavenly and the earthly. You know that life is better. The contentment that you experience, it's just better with Jesus. At the DNA of the Christian faith is a heart of generosity. We have a generous God. We have a God that loved us so much that he knew that we were ruined, and it was out of generosity that he sent his son to die for humanity. For us, out of his generosity. And if that's the way that God rolls, that's the way God's people should roll, at a heart of generosity. Now, interesting enough, all these people starting writing books about how to live a happy and healthy life. And it's annoying me because it's copyright. They're just copying basically passages of the Bible, and they're actually just putting them in their book. And people are going, this is amazing. You've sold like 1,000 copies about living life contentment by being generous. I'm like, hello, it's the Bible. You know what I mean? Go and read it. And these people are making money on this. And get this, seven science-backed reasons why generosity is good for your health and happiness. And they go through, I'll just give you the summary version. The results demonstrate that when volunteers place the interest of others, I'm not talking about money here, I'm talking about time and service to others. The results demonstrate that when the volunteers place the interest of others before their own, the generosity activated a primitive part of the brain that usually lights up in response to food or sex or when you see babies and romantic partners. God had designed from the beginning of time that our brains would be wide, that when we are others focused and generous with our time, our talents, and our treasures, something would actively go off in our brain to make us happy, healthy, and fulfilled. Pretty amazing God, isn't he? He actually knows what will satisfy humanity, and it's through his son that satisfies for humanity, and anywhere else, people will live life unfulfilled. And it goes on, and it says, people, and these are all studies and all these big words that I can't remember, all these guys, anyway, I won't bother telling you that I can't pronounce half of them, but they come to the conclusion, it lowers stress levels. When you volunteer, when you give time, when you're generous and you have a generous heart, it also says it helps in the workplace. When you help other people, just don't think you're clicking on and clicking off, it's all about you, just getting your paycheck. No, it's about others. They reckon success. It says generosity trumps selfishness when it comes to success in the long run. University of Venezuela, where there is cooperation and everyone benefits together. They reckon you live longer. They also say this. They said healthy relationships. I mean, we're doing the marriage course and all this. This could be a heads up if you want to get ahead of the game before the marriage course on Wednesday. It says this. It says marriages are happier when they make a regular effort to serve their spouse in small ways, from making them a cup of coffee to giving them a back rub after a long day to going out for their way to be affectionate or forgiving. And Lauren, I just want to ask for your forgiveness in advance, and thank you, appreciate that. No, I don't have a Lauren story, so you can thank me later, maybe a back rub later. Anyway, but healthy relationships. And also says improves mental health. Get this, volunteering not only improves well-being and life satisfaction, but it also linked with decreased depression and a lower risk of dying early. And I'm thinking, the Word of God gives life. It's already in the Word of God. It gives life, it's Scripture. But you know, a common thing that all the researchers say to get the benefits of being generous, there's a catch. And the catch is it has to be a lifestyle. It has to be a lifestyle. It has to be a regular thing. And that's where the Christianity comes into a whole different domain, because it's part of how we reflect Christ to the world is being generous. It's a part of the way of the Christian life. It says this, experts in the field of, say, generosity has to be sustained behavior for it to make a meaningful psychological difference to the giver. It goes on and says, if we hope to be healthier and happier in our lives, the generosity we practice has to be authentic and it has to be a regular part of our life. They're talking about the Christian way of life. Do the verses of Scripture sound familiar? It is more blessed to give than receive. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds he were understanding, the unfulfillment, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Then it goes in Corinthians, says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God, the creator of the universe, loves a cheerful giver because that is part of his DNA. And he loves seeing his people reflect his likeness. And then it goes on, it says this, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And then it says this, you will be made rich in every way. You will be made rich in every way. You will be made rich in every way, not just talking about finances, rich in relationships, in the things you put your hand to. You will be made rich in every way when you are a cheerful, God-honoring, generous person. Sounds pretty good, hey? Science and these researchers and authors and society are supporting key biblical principles and proving that the generous way of life is the best, most fulfilling and rewarding life one can live. Pretty good, eh? But they're missing a piece of the puzzle that will help it be a long-term lifestyle, and that is Jesus. Has to always be about him. There's three mindsets of people. One of the first one is the bag. This is the bag mindset, which is about not enough. That'll come on the screen in a sec. And I'll explain three mindsets of people. The bag mindset is this, and it's about not enough. It's based on Haggai 1:6, and it says, you eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are never filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put in a bag with holes. I've read it, so you don't have to read it, but the bag mindset, not enough. There's a mindset, and there's three mindsets, and this is the first one. This is how the world lives. They store up things, but it's like storing up things in a bag, which is all about them, that they just pour down, and it's got holes in it, and they're never fulfilled. They're never fulfilled. And so that's a mindset about generous people. You either have a bag mindset, and the next one is this, the basket mindset, which I think Christians need to live this. The basket mindset is about more than enough. Christians need to at least live a basket mindset and not fall into the trap of living a bag mindset. It says this in Deuteronomy 28, verses 4 to 6. It says this, the fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. It talks about a basket. And we live a life, however you're living right now, I believe that God has given you an ability to live a basket mindset, which is more than enough for you and also some left over to share with people, talking about your time, your talents, and your treasures. Christians are at least called to live a basket mindset, actually coming to a point, you know, I actually have everything I actually need and what God's given me, and I actually have some left over to hand over with people. It's a basket mindset. And some people, God has given a special gift, and in particular, to live a barn mindset, infinitely more than enough. And it's based on Deuteronomy 8:8, and it says, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. It's a barn, it's like God, it's, you know, those people with the supernatural resources with time, those like a barn mindset. And God, we don't want to fall into the trap of living a bag mindset. You know what I mean? It's all about us. We make wages and nothing really happens, and we just focus on ourselves and we're never truly satisfied. But actually, Christians need to at least live a basket mindset, which is, you know, I'm okay with things. I'm going to make it work. I'm not going to look for the next big thing all the time. I'm going to be content, and I'm going to be faithful to God with what he's given to me. And then we have the barn mindset. Well, we're going to turn to Luke 12, verses 16 to 21. So if you've got your Bibles or your app on your phone, look at Luke 12, verses 16 to 21. And we're going to look at a guy who potentially could have had a barn mindset, but lost everything. So Luke 12, verses 16 to 21. I'll read it. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain man, rich man, produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. The first point in verse 16, I'm just going to give you a 7-minute, 4-point sermon right here. So forget the other bit. Right now. And he told them this parable, the ground of a rich man produced a good crop. First point. Everyone has something to offer. Every single person here has something to offer that God has given you an ability to live a generous life. Time, talents, and treasures. Every single person, doesn't matter your age. God has given, whatever he's given you, he's given you an opportunity to be generous and to live a generous life. Everyone has something to offer. There's a lady from the community that often comes in. She crochets and knits, and she drops in these blankets. And so we thought, what are we going to do with these blankets? But we eventually linked them up with Jason Franklin, who does beanies and blankets. He does beanies and blankets. And so people, you know, knit all these sort of things, and then they go out a fair few nights, I think, during winter. They store them up, and they go out and give it to the homeless people. And this lady in particular has now just started to come into Coffee Spot, which is awesome. And there's a photo that will come on the screen here in a second. I'll scroll through. Here we go. And these are some of the guys. And he was telling me that at William Booth House, which is a recovery services that Salvation Army do in the city, they got all the beanies and blankets. They gave them to him. And they had about 10 volunteers from William Booth House. And they went and gave all the homeless people beanies and blankets. And I was thinking, everyone has something to offer. And there's a big, long email, but I'll just read you a bit. So Jason writes back, and this lady particularly came in, and Jason writes back, it was so good to see the faces of the people who received these gifts, especially the two beautiful blankets that were from the craft group. So thank you, craft group, for that. These were a prized possession and fitting that a couple of ladies were given these blankets. It was also great to see the face of the William Booth House team, and as they were very thankful for the opportunity to give. The William Booth guys, part of their recovery thing, it's about being generous, realizing it's not all about them. And they were thankful for the opportunity to give to other people, which as I always say, is part of the program, Steps to Recovery. And I was thinking, everyone has something to offer. You know, and I'm not going to use this person's name, but I was thinking about God works in mysterious ways. I was saying to Lynn, I said, Lynn, we need someone to mow the lawn at our Samara house, which is our domestic violence, Samara house. And I said, I think it's part of that a service that we do for the families. They don't have to worry about that. We'll do that. We'll pay for something. It's about $60 it was going to cost us to get this mowed on a regular basis. And a guy after church just comes up to me and says, oh, Mark, I can't really do much, but could I mow the lawn for that house? You know, I said, that would be awesome. And so he's organized to mow the lawn whenever it's needed, and just something he can do. It's a ministry that he can give. And I'm doing the calculations because I like finances. I'm thinking, we save about $1,000 a year. This is awesome. That's $1,000 better used for the kingdom, better back into the community. So everyone has something to offer. And I want to remind you this, God has placed you in a particular place, a particular time, such as now, right where you are, and he has something for you to do and give to other people. He actually has destined that. First point, everyone has something to offer. The second one is, everyone has a choice to do what they like with the resources and gifts and the time that God has given them. We see that the man, he's rich. In verse 17, it says this. It says, he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. He had a choice. Right now, every single person has a choice to do whatever they want with whatever God's given you and whatever position he's placed you in. You can choose to think, oh, I don't have much to give, I'm not going to do anything. Or you can choose to use what God's given you, whatever he places in your hand. Everyone has something to offer and he wants to use you. When I look around and I see young adults are thinking, you know what? There's so much opportunity. God has big things planned for not for everyone, but in particular, they're still molding their way. They're still working out what they will give their life to. They're still working, oh, should I do this or should I do this? Or who should I marry or who shouldn't I marry? Or they're going through all these things. I'm thinking, you know what? It's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to think, actually, what am I going to do? You have a choice to make. Everyone has a choice to make, to use whatever the resources that God has given you. The third one, self-interest and comfort are often natural instincts. Self-interest and comfort are often natural instincts. So what was his interest, this rich young fool? Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns. So he's already got surplus. He goes, I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. The greatest challenge for Christians and for society is that self-interest and comfort are often a natural instinct. You know why the churches divide and split? Comfort, self-interest. Do you know why the Salvation Army finds itself that it's in right now? Which I believe we're in greater days and God's doing a thing. He's pruning back. But you know what? There's going to be greater fruit. But I can tell you, you know the reason we're in the predicament we're in? Self-interest and comfort. It was never about us. It was always about them. It's a natural instinct. And as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we need to fight that every single day. And then point number four, my last one is this. Selfishness brings, this is the reality. Look in society. Selfishness brings death to the human soul and leads to spiritual emptiness. And we see it here. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. Selfishness brings death to the human soul and leads to spiritual emptiness. And you have to tell people, realize, whenever you're going to make things about you, there's always an emptiness involved. And it will ruin you in the long run. You know, one of my favorite preachers is Phil Wall. And some of you know, he used to be a Salvation Army officer. And now he goes around the world preaching and he coaches all these high flyers and does leadership stuff. And anyway, he started Hope HIV. It's a charity. And, you know, thousands of kids are getting support from his charity and sponsored, you know, that are destitute and he's just supporting them. And one of the things, he coaches a lot of like rich businessmen. Basically, he coaches a lot of rich fools, okay? And he has them at a point in time. He shared one story that this rich fool comes to him and says, I've got everything, but I've got nothing. I've got all this, but I've got nothing. And Phil says to him, I want you to come over for a trip over to me to Africa, and I'll give you a reason to live other than yourself. He goes to Africa. And now this rich businessman, he gives a large proportion of his income and his business, and it's given him a purpose to live. And God's doing something in him. And the belief, the holistic approach is that he comes to know Jesus. And I'm thinking, we may not be rich in the earthly sense of things, but we cannot afford to waste whatever God has given us. If you want to live a blessed life, we have to develop a heart, a lifestyle of a generosity centered on Jesus. As a church, there's opportunities to give and serve and your time and all that sort of stuff. But you know, when it comes down to it, a heart of generosity centered with a relationship with Jesus changes absolutely everything. And it will fill that void in your life that you have been longing or looking for, or that area in your life that you've been looking for. The guys are going to come up and we're going to have an opportunity just to sit and reflect. And right now, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think to yourself, what are the things you are grateful to God for? A generous heart always starts with a walk with Jesus, especially the Christian faith. What are you thankful to Jesus for? And then I'm going to ask you to yell them out. And then we're going to praise God and we're going to thank Him. I'm going to lift His name up. Right now, I just if you can just yell out, what are you thankful to God for? What do you want to praise or thank God for? The real gratitude and a real spirit of thanks to Him. Just yell them out. It could be one word. People that never give up, yeah. Making a call. Yeah, for making, having a calling and a purpose for my life. Yeah. Stability. Thank you, God. What else? He loves you. Pretty good. Unconditional love. Yeah, no matter what. No matter how many times you make mistakes. Forgiveness. Just yell them out. That you know Jesus. For family. Your life is safe with Him, regardless. Yeah. I'm going to sit in this space for a while because it's not a natural thing. It's not a natural thing to thank people. It's not a natural thing to always praise God and thank Him and give honor to Him. But I want to sit in this space. Just deeply look within your spirit. What are you genuinely thankful for? What do you genuinely want to thank God for today? And just yell it out. Everlasting life. Get a free gift at heaven. It's pretty awesome. was that? There's more to come, and that's right. Good health. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Can't get it anywhere else. That you're His. You're His child. You're a child of the Most High God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. For the end of Satan? Yeah. End of evil? Yeah. We're the light, the messengers. Opportunity to share with others, yeah. Part of the solution, hey. Yeah, that His mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, healing in relationships. Amen to that. Yeah, that a healthy church is still the hope of the world. Amen. For His word gives us direction. For His grace. Yeah, friends that give meals when needed. The practical things. Financial security. Freedom. We are richly blessed people. And this whole series about a blessed life, to live a blessed life, a fulfilling life, full of purpose and hope and joy and happiness and health, its underlying theme is a heart of generosity. And my prayer is that as we, this week I'm going to give you a 7-day challenge. 7 days, every day for 10 minutes, I want you to wake up and I want you to write a list of things that you're thankful to God for. Every day, just write down what you're thankful to God for. And for 7 days, I want you to think, what's one thing out of the ordinary you could do for someone else? Whether that's cook them a meal. It could be, if you're a little bit tight like myself sometimes, give someone a tip. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't normally do that. Or pay for someone's meal at McDonald's that, you know, that they don't know about. Like, just bless and be generous. One thing every day. When you go out for someone for lunch, you know, pay for their lunch. Or what? Just something different. Write someone a card that's on your mind. Like, take time to be that. And be generous. And you know what? I guarantee after 7 days, something will shift. Something will shift. And it'll be, you'll stop focusing on yourself. You'll start focusing on God and others. And this joy will be restored. This underwhelming, this undergirding joy will come into your life. And that everlasting joy, that inner joy, God wants every single one of you to have. And society and the world is longing for it. But what they're missing, they think it's about just about generosity. It's about generosity partnered and centered with Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a song right now. The guys are going to lead us through, and it's called How Great Is Our God. How great is our God? And this is a great time for you just to worship the King of Kings and say, how great you are, God. You are amazing. You're all-powerful, all-knowing. I have life in you. I have peace in you. I have hope in you. I can have an inner joy while there's turmoil around this world, worrying all this, but I know that you are steadfast. You are a rock, and I am secure on you. questions, Josh.